Hello, Mid-Michigan. This is the My 104.3 Scoreboard Podcast with your host, Chris Spachman.
Welcome to the first My 104.3 Mid-Michigan High School Scoreboard. In this short podcast, we'll take a look at all of our local high school football scores from this week's action, break down each team's conference positioning in the early season, and this week we have the pleasure of speaking with Jamie Slate and the Sacred Heart Irish football team, the final 11-man football team for the Irish. We'll ask him what their goals are for this final season and what they see for the future as Sacred Heart moves on to 8-man football next year. Well, let's just get right into it. Elma squeezed by Chesning 27-26 at home. Breck Elward led Elma with 129 yards on the ground, had a score on the ground and a kick return touchdown as well. He has 9 touchdowns on the early season. Chesning could not convert a fourth down with just 16 seconds remaining. That sealed the victory for the Elma Panthers. Merrill bested Ashley 24-6 at Ashley. Beale City beat Manton 33-13. Lucas Shoemaker was 5 of 10 passing for 115 yards and 3 TDs. Those passes were to Seth Schaefer, Ryan Schaefer, and Colin Schar. On the ground for the Aggies, Brett Upton had 75 yards on 9 carries and a touchdown. Brandon Shaner had 4 carries for 61 yards. Nate Wilson had a nice night with 9 carries, 61 yards, and a touchdown. And Colin Schar had 6 carries for 32 yards. He also led the team on defense with 10 tackles and a pick. The Aggies got ahead with 2 touchdowns in the second quarter to lead 20-6 at the half and cruised in the second half to win that game with that score of 33-13. Thanks to Lisa Ancliffe for those stats. Coleman bested Vestaburg in a shootout 42-34. Shepherd was bested by Freeland on the road 42-20, and Beaverton absolutely dusted Gladwin last night with a score of 70-6 as they piled up 63 points in the first two quarters. The Beaverton defense was absolutely outstanding versus the Flying G's as Gladwin had 54 yards of total offense, most of those coming late in the second half. They had negative 10 yards on the ground. They picked off Gladwin 4 times. Listen to these drives for Gladwin in the first half. 3 plays, 5 yards punt. 3 plays, negative 10 yards ending with a pick. 4 plays, 8 yards turnover on downs. 3 plays, 0 yards ending with a fumble. 3 plays, negative 12 yards. And then Beaverton housed the punt return. They then got something going with an 8 play, negative 6 yard drive that also ended in an interception. They then turned the ball over 2 more times in the final minute of the first half. What a defensive performance by the Beavers as they won 70-6 over Gladwin last night. Morley Stanwood won an overtime battle on the road at Hesperia 22-14, and Ithaca bested St. Louis 51-14. It was a very competitive game in the first quarter as St. Louis responded to a Joey Bentley touchdown pass with a 15-play, 80-yard drive and scored on a 4th and goal on a tip pass to tie the game. Then it was all Ithaca after that as the score was 35-7 at the half, and they have now won 67 straight games in the regular season. Remus Chip Hills defeated Newaygo, bouncing back from a 37-18 loss to Muskegon Oak Ridge, and Midland Dow bounced back from a kind of a surprise loss, if you ask me, to Bay City Central by beating Saginaw Heritage 28-7. Harrison bested Roscommon in what had to be a very exciting game with a final score of 44 for Harrison and 36 for Roscommon. And Carson City Crystal came back strong after a loss to Sacred Heart, beating Blanchard Montebello 34-6. And Clare got off to a great start in Jack Pine Conference play as they beat up on Houghton Lake 57-14. Sanford Meridian also got off to a great start in Jack Pine play as they blasted Farwell 62-0. Fulton bested Potterville 49-26. Everett beat Leroy Pine River 15-7. Midland Bullet Creek lost to Standish Sterling Central at home 20-6. Grant defeated Stanton Central Montcalm 41-8. And Lakeview was a winner over White Cloud 49-18. The Midland Chemics beat Flint Southwestern 38-7. The Chemics have outscored their opponents 105-7 in the last 2 weeks after falling 42-20 to Traverse City in their opener, which sets up a showdown with the Oilers next week here in Mount Pleasant, who got their first victory of the year over Saginaw High 44-12. And what a game it was between those two teams last year. We'll talk more about the My104.3 game of the week later. But it was a big win for the Oilers, winning 44-12, picking up their first win on the year. And they're in a very similar situation as last year, as I mentioned. We'll talk about that later in the show. And if you were able to join us last night on My104.3 for our game of the week, Breckenridge bested Sacred Heart Academy 27-7. And the story of the game was on the offensive and defensive line, and particularly Kenyon Story. He just had a fantastic game on both sides of the ball, and he was our JNR engraving player of the game. Hunter Collins and Lucas Ebright had nice nights on the ground for the Huskies, and they were quite outstanding on defense, only giving up 99 yards of total offense. Carter Lowe led the Sacred Heart Academy Irish attack with 31 yards passing and 55 yards rushing. We'll be right back on your My 104.3 Mid-Michigan High School Scoreboard, and we'll run down all the conference standings here in the very early season. We'll also talk with Sacred Heart Academy head coach Jamie Slate and the three senior captains on the football team. It's coming up next on the My 104.3 Mid-Michigan High School Scoreboard.
It's the geometry teacher who mans the ticket window.
It's the kid in grade school who paints her face blue and white before every home game.
It's the accountants and salesmen and store managers who give up their Friday evenings to referee.
It's the graduate who listens to the league championship game on the internet.
It's the parent who sells ads in the school athletic program.
It's the cashier at the corner convenience store who wears school colors on every game day.
It's the trainers, equipment managers, and ball boys who never miss a practice.
What makes high school sports here in Michigan so special? They do. You do.
We all do.
High school sports. It's the we that every community needs. This message presented by the Michigan High School Athletic Association and the Michigan Interscholastic Athletic Administrators Association.
Thanks for coming back to the My 104.3 Mid-Michigan High School Scoreboard. We'll be talking with head coach Jamie Slate of Sacred Heart Academy, as well as Keaton Sheffert, Carter Lowe, and Colton Heibel just in a few minutes. And next week, we'll hope to sit down with the Mount Pleasant Oilers squad. But back to the Irish. It was a tough out as they were blasted by Breckenridge last night, 27-7. Things don't get any easier for Sacred Heart as they go on the road to play 2-1 Merrill, who sit atop the conference with Breckenridge. Both of those teams are 2-0 in conference play. Coleman, Montebello, Carson City, and Sacred Heart are all 1-1 in MSAC play, while Ashley and Vesterberg are at the bottom of the standings at 0-2. Back to the Irish, it's important that they win this next game, as another loss would put them at 1-3. If that's the case, they would have to win out to be guaranteed a spot in the playoffs, and their final game is on the road at Saginaw Novell, who is 3-0 on the road. Breckenridge and Merrill will face off on October 7th, which could be a game deciding the MSAC conference. Here's a quick flash of next week's Mid-State Athletic Conference games. Merrill will host Sacred Heart, well, Blanchard Montebello is on the road at Breckenridge. Ashley is on the road at Vesterberg as both teams look for their first conference win. And Carson City Crystal will host Coleman. And let's just stay right here in Mount Pleasant and take a look at the Oilers conference standings. It was a good night for them in Saginaw as they picked up their first win in conference play and their first win overall. And look to get back even overall next week at 2-2 versus Midland. Currently in the Valley, Davison is atop the standings at 1-0 in conference play and 3-0 overall. Behind them is Midland. They're 2-0 in the Valley and 2-1 overall. The Lapeer Lightning actually didn't play last night. They are 1-0 in conference play and 1-1 overall. Then it's the Oilers at 1-1 in conference play, 1-2 overall. Flint Southwestern, Bay City, Western, and Saginaw High are all still looking for their first conference win. Next week, Bay City Western takes on Saginaw. Davison has Flint Southwestern. Lapeer plays Saginaw Heritage. And on My 104.3, it's the Mount Pleasant Oilers facing the Midland Chemics. Last year was an unbelievable finish as Midland scored 10 points in the final minute to stun the Oilers. That win ultimately kept the Oilers out of the playoffs at 5-4. Fast forward a year, and it's the same scenario for the Oilers, desperately needing this win to stay on track for that drive to 6 wins and a berth in the MHSAA playoffs. There's a look at what's happening in the Valley. Let's move on over to the Jack Pine Conference. Beaverton, Clare, Harrison, and Sanford Meridian are all 1-0 in conference play. Beaverton is the only undefeated team of the bunch as they just dusted Gladwin 70-6 with that outstanding defensive performance. Clare is 2-1 overall as well as Harrison. Sanford Meridian is 1-2 overall. And Houghton Lake, Roscommon, Farwell, and Gladwin bring up the bottom of the Jack Pine standings. Next week, Farwell will face off versus Harrison. Beaverton looks to stay unbeaten hosting Houghton Lake. Roscommon and Sanford Meridian will battle, and the Clare Pioneers will host Gladwin. It's early, but it appears that Gladwin and Beaverton would be, well, they'd be my favorites in the Jack Pine Conference this year. And if both teams continue to win, they will face off for the conference title, the final game of the year on October 20th. That could be a good one. And we'll stay north, moving from the Jack Pine Conference over to the Highland Conference. Lake City bested McBain 28-8, and with the win, Lake City is now the only unbeaten team left in the conference. And it's early, but all signs to me are kind of pointing to the September 22nd battle when Beale City has to head to Lake City. That game will go a long way in deciding who will win the Highland Conference. Next week, it's Leroy Pine River and Beale City, Everett and McBain, and Lake City versus Manton. And as we move over to the Tri-Valley, And as we move over to the Tri-Valley West Conference, you know Ithaca's at the top, 2-0 overall as they defeated St. Louis 51-14. Ovid Elsie, 1-0 in conference play as they had an out-of-conference game this week. They're 2-1 overall. Hemlock, Penn Conning, Saginaw Michigan Lutheran Seminary, and St. Charles all 1-1 in conference play. All of those teams are 1-2 overall, except for Hemlock. They sit at 2-1. St. Louis, 0-2 in conference play, 1-2 overall. And Saginaw Valley Lutheran at 0-1 and 0-3 in conference play round out the bottom of the Tri-Valley West. Next week, Ithaca takes on Saginaw Michigan Lutheran Seminary. Ovid Elsie and Hemlock battle. Penn Conning will take on Saginaw Valley Lutheran. And St. Charles will face off against St. Louis. And staying in the Tri-Valley but moving to the Central, it's a tough go for Shepherd right now as they remain 0-2 in conference play and 1-2 overall, sitting at the bottom of the conference. Elma is 2-0 in conference play and 3-0 overall, along with Freeland as they sit atop the conference standings. Behind them is Saginaw Swan Valley, who's 2-0 in conference play, but 2-1 overall. Behind them is Carleton and Standish Sterling Central, both 1-1 in Tri-Valley Central play and 2-1 overall. Chesaning, Bullet Creek, and the aforementioned Shepherd round out the bottom of the conference. All three of those teams are 0-2 in Tri-Valley play and 1-2 overall. Looking over at the CSAA Gold Division, it's Grant sitting atop the conference at 2-0 in conference play and 3-0 overall. Reed City and Chip Hills, 2-0 in conference play and 2-1 overall. Then it's Big Rapids and Central Montcalm, 1-2 overall and 1-1 in CSAA Gold play. Newaygo at 0-2 in conference play, 1-2 overall. And at the bottom of the conference, it's Fremont and Tri-County, 0-2 in the conference and 0-3 overall. We're going to come back and sit down with the Sacred Heart Academy football team. Well, the captains at least, Keaton Shepherd, Colton Heibel, and Carter Lowe, along with head coach Jamie Slate. It's coming right up on your My 104.3 Mid-Michigan High School scoreboard.
Hey, honey, is this your course schedule for the fall?
Yep.
Ah, let me see here. English, good. Chemistry, trigonometry, excellent. World history, oh, I love world history. Baseball? Wait, baseball? Baseball isn't a course, honey.
Well, sure it is, Mom. High school sports are about so much more than winning and losing. They teach lessons that can't be taught in a classroom, like accountability and self-discipline, the value of teamwork. I may not be earning a grade, but I'm learning how to compete later in life. Isn't that what getting a good education is all about?
Yes, of course it is. I was just testing you.
What can teenagers here in Michigan learn from participating in high school sports? Plenty, as it turns out. That's why they're called education-based athletics.
High school sports. There's so much more than just a game.
This message presented by the Michigan High School Athletic Association and the Michigan Interscholastic Athletic Administrators Association.
Chris Bachman here with head coach of Sacred Heart Academy, Jamie Slate. And Jamie, for those who don't really know who you are exactly, what's led you to being the head coach here at Sacred Heart?
I've been here since 2010. I started out coaching at Hemlock High School, which is where I graduated in 2007. Long story short, through connections with my brother, I ended up coaching track and field here as the throwers coach. And the next year I got onto the football staff and we won a state championship and I haven't wanted to leave ever since. So I was worked my way from being the linebacker coach up to the defensive coordinator. And then when Rick Roberts retired 2 years ago, he put in a good word for me and here I am.
And what are some of your favorite memories playing football in high school?
Well, high school football is all about, you know, about your buddies, about your friends. It's unlike any other level of football. You know, at the college level, the game is definitely a better product, but you're not playing with guys that you grew up with your whole life. You're not battling next to somebody that knows everything about you, that, you know, you've been through everything with. And that's really what high school football, why it's so special. My favorite memories, I mean, I have individual games. Came down to blocked field goals and stuff like that. But to be 100% honest, I didn't have the type of success where I came from in Hemlock that these guys are fortunate enough here at Sacred Heart to have year in and year out. I played in one playoff game my entire high school career, and we lost, and we got beat down pretty good. We played Birch Run.
And you and I talked before the season about this possibly being the final 11-man team here at Sacred Heart, and you guys coming up with that kind of mantra, the last 11. What does that mean to you as a coach?
I've said this a few times. We just really look at the final 11 thing being a positive in the sense of, you know, these guys get to really put their name down in the record books as something important here at Sacred Heart, the last of a long tradition of 11-man football. We definitely are striving to make this a great year to make that happen. And also going forward, Sacred Heart stands to be a ultra-competitive 8-man team. I looked at our team this year, and yeah, our numbers are really low, and it's tough to make normal practice plans. I mean, we don't even have enough to go 11-on-11 scrimmages. But if you look at, you know, the future going forward, this team right here, right now, would be a dominant 8-man team. I can't help but think that the coming years in 8-man football, Sacred Heart is going to be a force.
And it's early in the season, but I just talked about it a little bit right there. What are your expectations for this team at this point?
We try not to focus too much on, you know, materialistic goals like championships and things like that. We always talk about, you know, we need to get better every single day. We need to do what we do and do it well. The goal is to focus on what we do, not focus on other teams. We know if we do what we do well enough, we can play with anybody in the state. It doesn't come down to win championships. It comes down to doing the things that it takes to win championships, and that's day in and day out, making practice perfect every single day.
What's your favorite part about coaching football?
Being around high school age guys, hands down, that's it. These guys are in the prime of their lives as far as having fun, as far as physical. You know, I don't think I've been 190 pounds since I graduated high school. I mean, these guys are in great shape. They have fun every single day. It makes my life enjoyable to be around a group of guys that has fun. I say this all the time to people that ask me, what's it like to be a football coach or a teacher? And I said, well, I can't even think of a job that I would enjoy more. Like, I look at my friends that go to work and put a suit and tie on, go into a cubicle or, you know, work with adults, and it's dry and it's boring. I work with kids every single day, and there's never a boring day. Every day has a new problem or whatever that I have to be creative to fix, or I just have to laugh it off because there's nothing you can do about some of the things kids do. So,
Ryan, if you guys do end up switching to 8-man football next year, what do you know about that whole setup?
Well, I've done my research. Definitely looked into a lot of 8-man things. I've watched game film that I can get. I've read up on a ton of blogs and what other coaches around the country say about it. Everything that I'm seeing is that it matches Sacred Heart football extremely well. We're normally not the biggest, the strongest team on the field, but we always have a ton of athletes, the type that are good for man-to-man coverage, the type that are good at open field tackling. We've been running a spread offense for a while now. I think all of those things come into play, and we are suited extremely well for 8-man.
And one final question, why does everybody got to come watch this Irish team this year?
Well, with our mixture of run and pass, I think we're one of the most exciting games to watch. If you like smash mouth football, you're going to get some run, you're going to get some option, old school type of plays. But we have a new school kind of flair with our jet sweeps and our spread passing game that really tends to open up the scoring quite a bit. So if you like see points on the board, we will definitely deliver that.
All right, Coach James Slate, thanks so much.
Thank you, Chris.
Chris Bachman hanging out with some of the captains from the Sacred Heart Academy football team, Keaton Sheffert, Carlo, and Colton Heibel. What are all your guys' favorite things about playing football?
One thing I really like about football is that you get to hang out with a group of guys, especially close friends all the time, and you really just form a bond in football that you don't form in any other sport. And also, like Coach Slate always says, it's pretty much the only time in our life that we can, like, go out and just be an animal. Like, we can play as hard as we want and hit people, and, I mean, once you're out of high school, you can't do that.
I think just the excitement, being with your friends and hanging out, playing a game you love, and football is one of those sports where it teaches you a lot of life lessons, too, I think, and fun atmosphere, and love to go wild on the field.
I'd also say the physicality is definitely a fun part of the game that would make the game different from anything else, and just the culture that forms around the school a football team can rally around.
And what other sports do you guys play?
Football is basically, yeah, I used to play basketball, but not anymore, so just football and lifting.
Oh, I play football, basketball, and baseball, and then play a little bit of golf on the side.
And I play football, basketball, and track.
And now here's a school question. What's your guys' favorite subject and why? And do you know what you want to do after high school? And if you don't, that's just fine because I had no clue.
Favorite subject. Well, we're not in gym class anymore, so Probably Spanish right now, and that's what I want to major in college. I don't know, but I do want to minor in Spanish. So,
I'd say right now, financial algebra is probably my favorite class. Just learning how to work with life savings and all that. And after high school, I'd like to become an electrical lineman. That's my goal right now.
I don't really have a favorite class. I'd say Spanish and financial algebra are both top classes, but as far as the future, I don't really know what I want to go into.
And any of you guys have any future aspirations of playing football, basketball, baseball, anything in college? And if so, what do you think it's going to take to get there?
I have no aspirations for that.
I got to go with Keaton. I love the game, but I'm going to try to move on.
I'd definitely like to play football in college and just going to camps, working out in the summers. I'd say those are probably the most important things that I've done so far.
And I imagine most of you guys have been at Sacred Heart, maybe even since elementary school, maybe some of your families went there. I go to schools all over the place, as you guys know, and the tradition here truly is special. And so what does it mean to you guys to possibly be part of the last 11-man football team at Sacred Heart?
I think it's a great honor, honestly. You look at the history, and especially the close-knit community of Sacred Heart, a lot of those guys that are coming to our game played on teams, you know, anywhere from 10 to 20 years ago or more. So it really is just an honor, the fact that we get to be the last people to wear that logo for an 11-man team.
Yeah, I gotta say, it's a great honor. I've talked to quite a few people that have played football in the past, and they all tell me how prideful they are, how excited they are to watch us, and it's just really nice knowing we're a team that's definitely going to be remembered.
Yeah, I'd say something special for sure, and I guess it does kind of have a little bit of pressure associated with it because it is the last 11-man team, and we do want to finish off strong, but the honor's definitely there, and being able to finish what people started.
A couple of the questions I ask your coach. As a team, what do you guys want from yourselves this season?
You know, yeah, like Coach said, we can talk about, like, materialistic goals and whatnot. But I guess just for me, it's I want to finish the season knowing that we all worked as hard as we could and gave our all and just leave no regrets on the field.
I'd like to leave a impression on all the people who come to watch us this year that win or lose, we are a hard-working football team, and every single day we're out there working to get better.
Yeah, I'd say the most important part of this season is just dominating teams and just going out there. If someone's going to beat us, they've got to work for it and they've got to earn it. And if they don't, then we're not doing our job.
All right, and the final question, why does everybody want to come watch you guys play this year?
Our team this year is, like I said, we don't give up very easily, as you can see against Carson. And we have a very unique offense, especially for like a high school level. So, yeah, you'll see points on the board. You'll see plays that you wouldn't generally see high school run. And, you know, we do have some athletes out there that are fun to watch.
To kind of add on to what Keaton said, we run a lot more advanced offense than a lot of teams run. I'd say big advantage we have is how smart we are and how our capability of adapting to new plays. And, I mean, we have a ton of playmakers, a ton of people who love to play football, and a lot of people who are just naturally fun to watch.
Yeah, I'd say we definitely have big hitters and athletes that can go out there and put on a show. So someone that wants to be entertained Friday nights should definitely come.
All right, thanks a lot, guys. Appreciate it very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Another big thank you to those guys from Sacred Heart Academy for taking some time and sitting down and chatting with me about possibly their final 11-man football season at Sacred Heart Academy. And there's only one thing left to do here. It's to run down all of our games next week in mid-Michigan. And here we go. Elma will host Midland Bullet Creek. Beale City hosts Leroy Pine River. Beaverton hosting Houghton Lake. Breckenridge hosting Blanchard Montebello. Coleman heads to Carson City Crystal. Clare will host Jack Pine Conference foe Gladwin. Harrison hosts Farwell. Sacred Heart Academy plays Merrill in Merrill. Midland Dow will host Bay City John Glenn. Ithaca is on the road at Saginaw Michigan Lutheran Seminary. Shepherd plays host to Carlton. It's St. Louis and St. Charles in St. Louis. Vesterberg will host Ashley. Chip Hills takes on Tri-County. Stanton Central Montcalm faces off against Nuevo. It's a big game in the CSAA Silver as Lakeview and Morley Stanwood face off. Sanford Meridian has a home battle versus Roscommon, and you will be able to find the My1043 crew at Community Memorial Stadium. What a game it's going to be versus Midland High and Mount Pleasant High. Last year, the Oilers gave up 10 points in the final minute to lose 31-28 to a sidewinder of a field goal to walk it off for the Midland Chemics. I expect everybody who remains on this team from the Mount Pleasant Oilers has this game circled on their schedule, and I'm sure Jason McIntyre hasn't forgot about this game either. Make sure you join us this next Friday. Community Memorial Stadium, Sean Powers and Tina Sawyer will be tailgating in the parking lot at 6 o'clock, and that Members First Credit Union pregame show kick off at about 6:50. It's high school football on your number one home for high school sports in mid-Michigan, My 104.3 this Friday. Mount Pleasant Oilers versus the Midland Chemics. And make sure you join me next Saturday right here on My104.3.net and Facebook.com/My104.3 for the My 104.3 Mid-Michigan High School Scoreboard.
Thanks for listening to the My 104.3 Mid-Michigan High School Scoreboard. This podcast is available at My104.3.net.